Jump shot. It goes. Zach Randolph does it again.
3-point game. They've got to go for three now. No choice. Conley for three. Ties it up.
First team all defense. First team all defense.
Here's Gasol from outside. Tony Allen. Shot clock at four. Randolph puts it up. Puts it in.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies Tuesday edition of the show, as we do every single Tuesday. Amari Sankofa from The Athletic joins us every single week. But before we get to that, make sure you go and subscribe to the podcast and whatever podcast platform that you have. Make sure you do that so you don't miss an episode every single day. As a reminder, we won't have a show tomorrow. I'm getting a root canal. I think I've already told everybody that yesterday. It's going to be super fun. Don't anticipate being able to talk, though, so we won't have a show tomorrow. Won't have a show Thursday and Friday because of Thanksgiving holiday, so enjoy the time with your family. So this will be the last show for the week, so make sure you enjoy it. Amari, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, it's going great. Just looking forward to some Thanksgiving festivities in a couple of days here. I feel like the light is at the end of the tunnel, but obviously the game before and the game after, won't be quite the break that Thanksgiving's have been in past years for me.
Thanksgiving food. It's like the best time of the year. Easily the best food eating holiday of the year. No doubt. The Grizzlies lose last night to the Pacers. First of all, is Ja Morant's okay, right? Like he scared the shit out of all of us.
Yeah. It looked bad. I mean, it looks like his shoulder blade caught the direct center of the cameraman's D. And, I mean, he just didn't look good at all walking off the court. He needed two people to help him walk. And that's definitely a scary sight. But, I think the wind just got knocked out of him, honestly. It wasn't like he crumpled immediately after he landed. It was clearly the impact of, the knee hitting his back that was responsible for it. So I'm sure everybody and Grizzlies fan, I'm kind of breathed a sigh of relief because it was a pretty scary fall.
Yeah, it was definitely something that I don't like happening to your star player, franchise player. And by the way, if you're mad at anybody, don't be mad at the camera guy for doing his job. As a guy who has a job producing said camera guys and telling them to get the same shot that they got last night, don't be mad at them. Be mad at the NBA for putting them there. If you want to be mad at somebody,
but I agree with that. Some of the vitriol directed at the cameraman. I'm like, I mean, what is he going to do? Like that's what the NBA requires the camera people to. To get their shots basically. And, it's not, I mean, I guess it sounds mean, but, it's not his job to become John Morant's
it's not.
Because, John just happened to fall on his knee, as a cameraman, you have one job and that's to get the shot. People obviously want to see what's happening. So you can't really get mad at him when he's doing his best to give people watching on TV that.
I saw a lot of that. Honestly, if you've never been in that situation, and most people haven't, he's sitting down holding a 20-pound camera and Ja Morant falls on top of him. I mean, even if he's trying to get out of the way, the production truck's still rolling. And if I'm that producer, which a lot of times I've been in that situation, I'm going to take the shot. I mean, and if people say shame on him for getting the shot. But if I was his producer, I would be yelling at him to get said shot. I mean, do you want him to get up and tend to Ja Morant? That's not his job. He doesn't even know, he's not a medical professional. So yeah, I'd be mad at the NBA for putting him there. If anything, you want to be mad at somebody, that's who you should be mad at if that's where they place them. Either way, I get it. Having a spot for players to land is a big deal. So if you want to be mad at somebody, be mad at the NBA. Cameron guy's doing his job. And so is the production truck. Just doing what you ask him to do. Because if the opposite happens and they don't get said shot whenever it's important to your team about, having a player's foot out of bounds or whatever, then you scream because they didn't get the shot. So you can't have it both ways. Nonetheless, the Grizzlies didn't look great last night. I don't think they ever really I don't know if they've ever really had a shot in this game. I don't know if you thought they ever really had a shot.
No, I mean, one, Indiana's a good team. Even without Victor Oladipo, I think they were 9-6 last night, and now they're 10-6. You know, they're extremely well coached. Nate McMillan, you know, probably should have got more love for Coach of the Year last season than he actually ended up getting. And they're just well constructed. You know, they're really balanced. Miles Turner obviously is a great defensive player. Sabonis is great. Malcolm Brogdon's having a career year, and it's a road game. This was going to be a tough game for the Grizzlies, regardless. And yeah, it's pretty fair to say that this probably wasn't going to be a game that they were going to win.
Yeah, I mean, they really never, you know, it never looked like they even in the first quarter, just never looked like they were in it at all. You know, Ja Morant was, I think, probably a pedestrian night. I don't know if that injury had a lot to do with it, but he did have double digit assists, 10 assists, and 0 turnovers. So, but you know, didn't have really the scoring I think that the Grizzlies probably needed to probably have a chance to win this game. I think that he's got to be that's great. He had 10 assists, but he's got to be. I think he has to. You got to have 20 points a night for him. I think at least for you to really have a shot to win games. And I know that's not the. It really doesn't matter this year. Obviously, we've talked about it on the show, but I think he's got to score 20 plus points a night for this team to have a chance.
I agree. This team just doesn't have much of a scoring punch outside of him and obviously Jaren. And I think Jaren picking up the 2 fouls was really sort of when the game broke open for Indiana as well. But yeah, Ja, you know, certainly if he's not scoring the ball at a high rate, it's going to be tough for the Grizzlies to win too many games this season, you know, right. Especially given that while they are or have been shooting the ball pretty well over the past 3 weeks or so, they're still not really a volume three-point shooting team, and they're prone to slumps because outside of Jaren and, you know, I guess you could put Dylan Brooks in that category, they don't really have a lot of guys who have just been consistently good three-point shooters. So, you know, we see them slump here or there, and it's going to happen. You know, this just isn't a roster that is constructed to score the ball well night in and night out, you know. And I think with Ja playing as well as he has been, you know, it's almost crazy in a sense to say that, you know, your rookie point guard who just played his 15th game has to, you know, carry more of the scoring load. You know, like, that's just where this team is at right now. Ja's been great, but that's obviously not going to be a winning recipe every single night.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that we said in the beginning of the year, the preseason, but now that's where we are. Like, that's just where you're at. I mean, there's just not enough scoring off the bench. I mean, speaking of its counterpart, Tyus Jones, another night with 0 points. I mean, for a few weeks there, he looked very consistent in what he was able to do, but he's not been great the past couple of games. The past, I'd say, 3-4 games, he's not been very good at all. The past 2 games, no points. He was 0 from 5 last night. Just, I think he had a couple points in the Lakers game, but either way, just not enough. He's got to do something other than that for this team to have a shot at anything. I mean, Tyus Jones just not been great at all for me.
No, he hasn't been. I think Tyus really only has 1 gear. And, you know, when his teammates are playing well around him, then obviously he's a pass-first guy, and he can fit pretty well with that. But one thing we've seen with Ja a lot this season is that he's averaging, you know, I actually have to, you know, look this up and back this up, but it seems to me that he's passing the ball a lot more in first halves than he is in second halves. You know, part of that right. is because, you know, teams, they make halftime adjustments, obviously. And, you know, things that worked early, you know, especially against good teams, are going to work in the fourth quarter, you know, and Ja's basically realize, okay, I have to, you know, take the ball and just do my own thing with it, basically create my own offense, you know, and that's been a winning formula some nights. Tyus doesn't have that gear. You know, Tyus can't just decide, okay, passing the ball isn't working, so now I need to score. You know, he isn't a scoring point guard. You know, he isn't a shooter. You know, he can do some things in transition. He gets to the rim occasionally, but that's just not who he is. And, you know, unfortunately, it's not necessarily a phenomenal fit for this team at times, you know, simply because he's passing the guys who can't score. I mean, you know, that's a pretty straightforward analysis there, but that's basically what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I noticed that we talked about this show in the show yesterday about the amount of pace, and it's something that Tyus Jones has never really played this fast in the league. I mean, when he's been with the Timberwolves, it's been very bottom half of the league pace wise. And now the Grizzlies are fifth, sixth in pace right now, consistently for this team. And he's also, his turnovers are up, way up, something that was lauded for Tyus Jones coming into this season, that he, you know, had one of the best assist to turnover ratios and all these other things. But now his turnovers are up. Do you think that is there a correlation there with the amount of how fast they're playing to Tyus Jones being, you know, kind of adjusting to that?
I think it's an adjustment for him, for sure. You know, it's been an adjustment for, I think, a lot of guys on this roster, honestly, you know, especially for Jared, who really looks like he's just not getting comfortable within the last 2 weeks. Tyus is a very methodical type of point guard. And, you know, I don't think this team is necessarily geared to his strengths. You know, it's not necessarily a very pick and roll heavy team. You know, that's something that he was able to do in the past that the team isn't doing as much of. And, you know, maybe it'll just be more of a filling out process between, you know, Jenkins and, you know, finding those middle grounds between, you know, playing to a system and just playing to his player's strengths. You know, I think when you're a first year head coach, you have to, that's a tough job, right? You know, because you have a scheme that you want to build, and it takes time to get players who, you know, fit that scheme to a T. You know, so I think the front office kind of smartly said, we're just going to get guys that we know that can play. Tyus is a guy that can play, obviously, even if he hasn't been quite great on this team. Valanciunas is another guy who fits that category, and he's obviously had his struggles as well. But Valanciunas looked great last season, obviously, you know, like a much slower scheme that, you know, suited to his strengths more. So there's been a lot of that going on with the Grizzlies this season.
Yeah, let's take a quick break. We're going to talk about Jonas Valanciunas a little bit more in the next segment and what him and Jaren Jackson look like together in the future. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Amari Sankofa of The Athletic, like we do every single Tuesday on this show. You mentioned Jonas Valanciunas, and that was honestly my next kind of topic and talking point that I wanted to discuss with you, is Jonas Valanciunas and Jaren Jackson Jr. I think there are serious questions on the idea of them being able to play together long term. Where do you land on that?
I have serious questions too, and I've had serious questions since the summer. I was a little confused that the front office reached an agreement to bring him back so early into the process, because Jaren and Valanciunas had only played two games together, and within those two games, not even a significant amount of minutes, and there was just such a small sample size, you know, with Jaren and Jonas, that, you know, I think, you know, I and a lot of people kind of questioned how they would look together. So to me, it always confused me that the front office decided, okay, we need to bring Jonas back at all costs, you know, and then you sign him to a, you know, 3-year deal that's paying him about $16 million a year. You know, I figured, okay, maybe, okay, like, they're the front office. The front office clearly, you know, knows what it's doing. You know, maybe there's something as far as his development as a three-point shooter or something that they're banking on that will help him be a better fit for this team moving forward. But, I mean, through, you know, 16 games, I think a lot of those fears have kind of been realized. You know, he hasn't been a volume three-point shooter, you know, even though he has hit them at a solid enough clip to take more, certainly. And he's just getting absolutely destroyed on defense. You know, teams know how to isolate him, bring him out of the paint, blow by him. I mean, last night was a clinic of that. And, you know, I think we're at the point where Jenkins is going to have to make some judgment calls as far as, okay, who did he play Valanciunas next to? Because I do think there's a role for him on his team, you know, particularly as a scorer. But maybe that's more of a second unit thing with him, similar to how it was in Toronto, than, you know, first unit type deal when he's playing next to Jaren, where, you know, I think he puts Jaren in weird spots offensively, and it hasn't really been that productive of a pairing so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is some validity to the idea of moving Jonas to the bench. And not because I said that Jonas should play on the bench in the preseason. That's not because I want this to be true. But, I mean, it halfway is, but whatever. I think there's a validity to Jonas playing with Tyus Jones. I mean, we just talked about those both guys, you know, some of the – I think probably one of the two – or probably the two guys that have struggled with the pace so, you know, so far. Is there an idea that – because, to be honest with me, like, for me, I think Jaren has looked the best – when he's been out there in that Lakers game with Brandon and Kyle, and it's a little smaller, because Brandon can operate on the perimeter better than Jonas can. I mean, you saw in the Lakers game, they moved Jaren inside a little bit more, and he was much more successful, obviously, in that game than he has been all season. But because they moved Jonas out to the perimeter, and Jonas was just ineffective because he can't be effective out there. And Brandon, I think it was better with Jaren in that sense on the perimeter. Do you think that that might be something that we could see Jonas Valanciunas and Tyus Jones in a pick and roll? I mean, that to me, that seems like a better fit.
I think we could, and I agree with you for the most part. You know, Tyus's pick and roll numbers have not been good this season. And that's odd because he's always been a very good pick and roll guy, an above average pick and roll guy. And this year, they just haven't been good. You know, and I think an obvious explanation for that is that, you know, he's just not playing with pick and roll guys. You know, I think Tyus Jones and Ja Morant, you know, attack the game in very different ways. And that's fine, obviously. I mean, you know, Ja's been great. But, you know, at some point, you have to make the game easier for some of your guys, essentially. You know, I think Jonas Valanciunas and Tyus would both benefit from running more pick and roll with each other because Jonas, obviously, is the best screener on the team. He's a great roller. You know, Tyus could hit him in the spots a little bit more. And you could find guys who could play around that and provide the spacing that pairing would need, given that neither Tyus or Jonas are willing three-point shooters. And I think because of that, you know, like that pairing is always going to have a little bit of a cap to it. But, you know, you don't need this pairing to lead the league, per se. You just need to get good minutes from both of them when Jaren and Jai are both on the bench. And sure, this is something that they should probably look at.
Yeah, I mean, it's a question, you know, not only for this year, but if you're gonna keep Jonas Valanciunas long term, which they clearly intended to do in the summer with the contract, and same with taking us Tyus Jones, you're gonna have to figure it out. And Jaren Jackson is gonna be around, Ja Morant's gonna be around. You got to figure out how they all fit together, and you got to figure out how you can at least try to hide Jonas Valanciunas on defense, because right now, like you mentioned earlier, I mean, he's been awful. They have been ISO. I mean, last night, like you said it, Perka, last night was a clinic. You know, he backs up on defense because he's trying to protect the drive, and there's really not much else you can do. But they cooked him there, and they cooked him in a little dump off passes. I think he tried to blitz the pick once. They cook, you know, and it's just, I mean, he's been not great, and Taylor Jenkins got to figure it out because if they, you know, if they want him long term, if they view Jonas Valanciunas as a part of this franchise the next few years, that right there won't work.
No, it won't. And you kind of touched on, you know, like obviously they have him drop defensively because it's basically the lesser of two evils, right? Like, you know, you obviously don't want him stranded out on the perimeter and the sure. guys are blowing right by him. But it's kind of happening regardless. Like he drops, guys can still get by him, or, you know, or you just give up an open three. You know, I'm not sure if there's really a solution there per se. But one thing I'll also say is that while Jaren and Jonas have not been good together, Jonas and Brandon Clark have been good together. And, you know, I think because Clark is a smaller, shiftier guy, you know, he's able to pick up some defensive assignments that Jaren can't. And Jaren's a good defensive player, too. Like, I'm not saying that, you know, he can't clear himself in the perimeter. But they fit a lot better. And, you know, I think that there are tweaks that they can make, you know, like maybe you just play Brennan and Tyus and JV together a bit more. And maybe that's a combination that can pull a little bit more out of Valanciunas. But long story short, you know, I think we're at the point where, or at least I think Valanciunas should certainly come off the bench with this team. I think as a bench guy, he can still get the minutes he deserves and probably play with guys who are bringing more out of him offensively and defensively.
Yeah, I think you're probably doing him a service by putting him against backups that he could actually probably dominate against and do some things he did last year really inside the paint. I think that would better serve his team much, much better. So let's take another quick break. We'll come back. We'll finish up with Amari Sankofa from The Athletic. Welcome back to the show. Talk with Amari Sankofa from The Athletic. Make sure you go and subscribe to The Athletic. It's not a lot of money. It's super cheap. They run specials all the time. I promise you, it's not enough for you to notice come out of your bank account. Amari Sinkofa and Peter Adamson do a great job over there all the time with the articles coming out over the Grizzlies. So make sure you go check it out. I wanted to wrap up with the idea of Jay Crowder. I mean, do you still think that Jay Crowder will be moved this year?
You know, I guess I'm 50-50 on it. I think that, for one, I'm curious to see how this deadline shakes out because, you know, we're starting to kind of see the tiers of the NBA play out, and they're still realistically, you know, the Lakers, you know, probably have been the best team so far, but, you know, realistically, we're still looking at 5-6 teams that can make the finals. I mean, Boston has been great, obviously. You know, you still have Milwaukee, you still have Philadelphia. Miami has been surprisingly good. You know, and then, you know, the West is the West as it's always been. You know, so I think guys like Jay Crowder are going to be valuable because Jay is on a reasonable deal. And he seems like a guy who is better on contenders than he is on teams like the Grizzlies, where, you know, just asking him to do a little bit too much. You know, you probably don't need him shooting as much as he's been shooting, even though he's obviously taking that many shots because he's one of the few proven guys on the team who have a track record of knocking down threes at a decent rate. So I do think there will be a good market for Jay Crowder. I think the Grizzlies have to decide if the return is worthwhile for them, for one. You know, because you only need so many young guys. Like, maybe if you're getting a guy that you're sure can be part of this core moving forward, you put the trigger on it. But he's also, you know, one of the few guys on the team that's older than 25. And I don't know if that's a concern for this team because, you know, it's a good locker room, but you do still want some guys who, you know, have been around the block and have that experience, and Jay Crowder's embraced that role. So, I'm 50-50 on it at this point. You know, I think you get the return on it, but, you know, at the same time, if you keep them and then you just get that cap space next summer, I mean, that's fine too.
Yeah. I mean, I think people always forget about cap space as something that you gain. I mean, it's, you know, it's always something that, I mean, if you trade Jay Crowder for something that has multiple years left on his deal, anything like that. I mean, people forget that cap space is a tool, just like any other second round pick or anything like that in the NBA. It is a tool to use to be able to continue to build out your team. So, you know, the idea of just keeping him and gaining that isn't like the worst idea ever. Honestly, it's not like it's not like that's something that you just shun away and be like, oh, that's a terrible idea. Like this idea that losing people for nothing when maybe that nothing is, you know, maybe that cap space is better than that whatever player you're going to get back. So that's something that I always think about as well. But I for one, I think Jay Crowder is a guy that I think is playing reasonably well enough this year that I think he could probably go to some money that could actually help. I think if you wait long enough to the deadline, I think you maybe get someone that is a little bit desperate and wants to have that type of player on the team that can hit threes at a reasonable clip and, you know, kind of a bigger guy that can guard multiple positions. So I think the jury's, they got a long way to go for sure, but I think the jury's still out on Jay Crowder. Speaking of which, another player that we probably talked about a lot and haven't seen much of, Josh Jackson. You were at the Hustle game last night. What did Josh Jackson look like? Look like a NBA player playing with G League players?
I mean, every single game, he looked like an NBA player playing with G League guys. I mean, you know, this is athleticism of the speed. Like, he had like a Kobe-esque turnaround mid-range jumper last night. I mean, he's been great. There's really nothing else to say. Like, he's been great, but he looks like the Kansas Josh Jackson that, you know, can be used as a secondary creator. Obviously, great in transition. Very active defender. Just a Swiss Army knife type guy. And I've kind of felt this way since they announced he was going to the G League, but he should be with the Grizzlies. You know, they don't have enough wing rotation players who are giving good minutes to leave a guy who pretty looks like an NBA wing on the bench. You know, not to pick on any particular guy, but I also don't really agree with the notion that because he hasn't had two great seasons in the NBA, the G League is beneficial for him. Because his two seasons in the NBA, for one, he did do good things. You know, it's not like he was just a negative at everything. You know, you look at the numbers and their stuff, he did at a solid rate. Two, you know, Phoenix is a complete mess, and I think there's a lot of guys who play for Phoenix that looked worse than they actually are. Three, there are players currently logging minutes with the Grizzlies who have been worse NBA players in the past than Josh Jackson has been. So, long story short, you know, I think he should be caught up.
Well, to your point, I mean, look at TJ Warren last night. I mean, a guy that practically got given away, I mean, to the Pacers, and actually a productive player. So, like, you know, the Suns are a terrible team. So they're badly run franchise. So pretending like this, the Suns, I mean, there are probably issues, sure, but like pretending like it's all, you know, all Josh Jackson's fault, I think is kind of silly at this point. And you know, we have wings on this Grizzlies team. Solomon Hill's got 18 minutes for crying out loud last night. Solomon Hill, 18 minutes. So there's a lot left to be desired in this wing rotation for the Grizzlies. Nonetheless, the Grizzlies take on the Clippers tomorrow night at FedEx Forum. I would be surprised if we saw Kawhi Leonard tomorrow night. What about you?
I would too. Second out of a back-to-back. You know, and if the Grizzlies, like if I'm the Clippers, I'm not going to play Kawhi Leonard in that game. There's just no reason to. And I mean, that's probably good news for the Grizzlies. You know, they played the Lakers coming off of the back-to-back pretty well on Saturday, and I'd have a pretty similar situation against the Everett Los Angeles team. So, you know, they'd be a pretty fun pre-Thanksgiving game. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Like I said, I would personally love for him to play because I want to watch him play. But that's just my own reasons. And the Clippers probably don't care about me. They care about Kawhi Leonard. So nonetheless, I think you're probably right. I think we'll be surprised and pleasantly surprised if we do see him. Wouldn't it be, you know, no surprise here if he decides to sit on the second out of a back-to-back. As always, we have Amari Sankofa on this show every Tuesday. Man, I appreciate it. Have a happy Thanksgiving. What can people read of yours while they're eating food on Thursday?
Yeah, so I'm doing something on Jaren Jackson's three-point shooting that, you know, should run tomorrow because, you know, I'm sure people probably won't be in the mood to read stories on Thursday. And yesterday we also ran a story, you know, I talked to Marco Guderick and Grizzlies assistant Devin Spaia about their relationship. You know, like obviously Marco Guderick's Serbian and Spaia is Croatian. And, you know, so they speak the same language, Serbo-Croatian, and Spaia is kind of taking the lead on the Grizzlies coaching staff as far as getting Marco acclimated to the NBA because EuroLeague hoops and NBA hoops are very different. And the story kind of took a deep look at that. So, you know, I'm biased, but I think that's worth checking out.
I think it's worth checking out too. And I am also biased because you come on my show, but nonetheless, like we said, always great stuff from you guys over there. Make sure you go and subscribe. Make sure you go and subscribe to the show, whatever podcast platform you're using, Spotify, Stitcher, Overcast, Apple iTunes. If you're on Apple iTunes, give the show a review, rate the show. It really helps us in the iTunes rankings. Amari, we'll do it again next week.
Definitely, man. Have a good Thanksgiving.
You too, buddy.